This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Liturgy Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I'm talking about loneliness, about being scared to be alone, talking about that programming that many of us are on, that programming. And what I mean by programming is that, you know, we all have computers, we all have a cell phone, and that cell phone, that computer is based on an operating system, right? And then the operating system, what do? We revamp the operating system, we update them, you know, throughout time, and we do that because we want it to run smoother, we want to change the glitches, we want to, you know, do some security patches, what have you, what all that is, we want to add apps, all that functionality. And we, as our computer system, we also run programs in our own mind, and some of these programs have been running since we were very young, and some of us have been running programs that honestly are getting in the way of us developing a solid life. It's getting in the way of our happiness. It makes us make choices that we wouldn't make otherwise. And so we're going to be talking about the loneliness program here, how we started in the loneliness program, why we do have that fear of being alone, and what that fear of alone and being alone does. Later on in the hour, Dan Nelson's going to join me. Dan is our resident historian and genealogist, and he's going to be sharing us some historical stories of value that are really interesting, and he always brings something very interesting to light. I feel that history is important to acknowledge. I think that many of us, really, we learn a lot from history. It does feel like in our society today, it's almost like we're overlooking history. We're not actually seeing the past and understanding what happened in the past to really understand its relevance, as well as we can learn some lessons from it, too. I mean, there's various stories in the past that we can learn lessons of things not to do. We can learn lessons of things that we should be doing. So it's going to be a good story, I'm sure, today with Dan. But right now, let's begin to talk about the loneliness program and how that began, because I think that we have this fear of being alone, this fear of loneliness that gets in the way of us living the life that we want to live. And what I mean by that is that I feel that we make choices in relationships and choices of hanging out with people that we wouldn't normally make choices to do because we just don't want to be alone. We make choices, like think about when you were a young kid and you were in elementary school and there was that one kid at school that just would not be your friend. And you wanted so badly for that person to be your friend. Gosh, I wish Johnny or I wish Allison or I wish Ann would be my friend. And you would pontificate and think about that on a constant basis. God, I wish they would be my friend. I wish they would just, you know, talk to me. And you didn't think about all the people that were your friend. You just thought about the one person that kind of treated you badly. And then you try to figure out what you did wrong or what can you do to get them to like you. What can I do? Oh, God, what can I do? I just wish I could do something. You know, Dan, it's interesting. I was going to ask you, did you ever deal with that going, you know, growing up in school? Because I know I did. You know, there was that one kid that maybe just didn't talk to you or didn't want to talk to you. And it became like your life's mission to figure out how to win that person over.
Yeah, you ran into that. You know, particularly I remember in the neighborhood growing up because when we moved to the neighborhood, everybody was younger or older than me. So then you try and, you know, you see people that seem to be, you know, neighborhood influencers. We didn't certainly call them that, but the cool kids, you know, and try and hang out with them and stuff. And, you know, some of them would let you and others, you know, it was almost like they knew they were playing a game where, you know, try and be my friend, but you can't be my friend. And they'd reach out a little and then pull back, you know.
That's interesting. And see, that's the thing is that many of you out there, and I get it, we go through that process through our whole life. And think about it. It's not just in elementary school or middle school. It's not just in high school. You know, it's the relationship that didn't work. It's the person that wouldn't talk to you. It's the girl that wouldn't go out with you. It's the guy that, you know, you went out on one date and ghosted you. I mean, this stuff is real. And this stuff goes through our entire adult life. And I think that we have to really understand that we're playing kind of with fire with the situation, and the reason why we get so connected to the person that got away or the person that doesn't like us is because we were never taught when we were young that our relationship with ourselves is important. We were never taught that the relationship with ourselves is the most important relationship we'll ever have. We were never taught to work on ourselves. Our parents didn't sit down and tell us and say, hey, by the way, the most important relationship you'll ever have is with you. And it, you know, that's just the case. Instead, we were taught what? Instead, we were taught relationships are important, and you need to make friends, and you need to interact. And as you watch, if your parents were married and you saw their marriage, you kind of watched them and they became this example, whether or not the example was positive or negative. And we tend to believe in that. And when we see that, a lot of times also we saw that maybe our parents were somewhat, we didn't know what codependent was, but they seemed to be, you know, kind of, it was about them together, but it wasn't really them being at their highest autonomy together. It was kind of like them cohabitating. Some people we saw in parents that were more like roommates in a roommate situation. And that's not for everybody, but I think that a lot of us see that in life, and we saw that growing up, and so we thought that that was our norm.
Yeah, I would agree. There's a lot of folks that have used that exact description. Usually it's right around the time they decide to have a divorce.
It is?
Yeah, where they say, I feel more like a roommate with my spouse than, yeah.
Than anything else.
Right.
And see, that's the key, is that, you know, you feel like a roommate, and you, the whole thing is, how long has it been a roommate situation? How long have you been in the roommate situation? How long have you been doing this? And the biggest thing is, why are we accepting this in our lives? And I've been talking on the phone with many clients. I've been working with my friends. I've been in sessions discussing this kind of stuff. And, you know, one of the things that comes up is I just got used to it. I got used to getting up in the morning next to somebody. I got used to going to bed next to somebody, being in the same room with somebody, and it became my normal. And then when that changed, the fear of being alone started to sink in. And one of the things that I find that's interesting, too, is that many of you might be at a crossroads. Okay, and the crossroads is, I finally decided that I want to try to figure out who I am, and I know that this marriage or this relationship is not really based on my truth. And I'm not telling people to all get divorced. This is not a show about getting divorced, okay? But this is a show about understanding who you are. Even if you stay in the marriage, you've got to understand who you are and step back and get that. But many people run out of the marriage. They immediately find someone else to date. That person has their own issues, just like we all do to some degree. And then they begin to fixate on that other person's issues. And again, now we're left with not having our own independent thought. And again, we are left with not even thinking about who we are. And so then we think about the ex, or we think about the person that we've been with for a long time. Then we think about this new person. And then the, what is it? There's 5 minutes or 10 minutes to you to think about yourself in a given day. And that's what most people are doing. And I think that this is important to talk about, because, you know, until we actually give ourselves time and quit thinking about the previous relationship and quit thinking about the current relationship or whatever it is, and actually bring that energy back into ourselves, we're not going to understand who we are. We're not going to see that we have value, and we're not going to work on us. Because if the relationship doesn't seem to have value, aka if I'm just acting like almost out of body, where I'm going through the motions, how is that connecting with my truth? And I think that a lot of times, too, when we're in school and we're going through this and nobody's teaching us this value, nobody's teaching us this value argumentation, nobody's teaching us that we have to go within, nobody's doing any of this work, we don't know it, we haven't been taught it, we haven't seen it with anybody else, and so we don't know that. And so we end up meeting somebody, we end up getting married because we think that we should get married because that's the end-all be-all, and that's what society teaches us, and we're supposed to get married. And then many of you, after you get married, you have kids because that's the next formulation. As you get married and you have children, and that's what you do. And then what happens, so is that I feel that for most people, their purpose, their drive, and the value that they should have on themselves goes to their spouse, right? And then that's what makes it so hard for people in marriage, and that's why there's such a high level of, like, hoops to jump through. And that's why you make it kind of, you're kind of tough and challenging on your spouse, because you hold them to a higher level that they have to be at, that they have to, you know, connect at, that they have to, you know, act and respond at. So you're putting so much energy into them instead of you. And then when there's the kids, it's almost like the focus moves from the spouse to the children, and it seems like the purpose point keeps moving from spouse to child. But then eventually one day when the kids go to college or they move out, all of a sudden there's this horrible loneliness feeling of, oh my God, what have I done with my life? I've ruined it. I got nothing to show for it. My kids are gone. I don't even know my husband. I don't even know my wife. We're not even friends. And then we go through the midlife crisis. And I think that is what most people deal with. But I'm trying to help you not deal with it. This is why we're doing this show today, is because I'm trying to help you to not have to go through that. If you are going through it, I'm going to make your life a little better, because hopefully I'll have some nuggets of wisdom or at least some great truths here to help you. But, you know, big time is this, is that unfortunately we weren't given the knowledge that we should have been given when we were 5 years old by our parents saying, hey, the most important relationship is with yourself. You need to cultivate a relationship and friendship with yourself. It's not about getting everybody else to like you. It's about you liking you and not judging yourself adversely and working on yourself and then creating and understanding your value and then creating that value and understanding and having an unconditional love for yourself. And then that allows you to actually unconditionally love other people, because, see, we have this problem in our society today that people talk about, well, they love me, and you know, I'm in the relationship, I love her, or I love him. But what the heck are we talking about? I don't even know what the love principle is, because if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to be able to love someone else?
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, I did, when our kids were in competitive sports, you know, it's very intense. Every weekend you're out and you see the same couples over and over again. And then, you know, the kids go all the way, you know, playing these sports into college, and then suddenly they're done. And it's like, what absorbed you for 20 years of raising children, getting through this whole athletic and college achievement? And you sort of turn around for a second, and I saw it happen to a lot of people where they're like, who the hell did I marry? Because that was so long ago, you know, and everything had changed since then. I mean, you were kids when you got married. And so if you don't figure out what makes you happy and what makes them happy and what can you do together or what do you need to do separately, you know, to continue to find that joy, I mean, it's definitely something people need to be visiting about the time their kids are getting out of college or sooner, or they will have troubles.
That's true. And I feel that many people don't, because what? We get busy. We get busy. We get busy going to things. We get busy working, responsibility, taking the kids, like Dan was saying, to all these, you know, these, you know, whether it's track or whatever sport that they're in, and dealing with that. And all of a sudden, when the kids are gone and there's a quietness in the house, it's like, oh Lord. Oh my God. What have I signed up for? And so what I'm saying here today is we want to jump into how to find your value before it's too late. I don't want you to have a bunch of regret. I don't want you sitting there going, man, crap, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I take care of this in my life? Why didn't I make this happen? Because nobody's going to give you a Medal of Honor. Okay, I'm just telling you, there's nobody going to give you a Medal of Honor for being a martyr. There's nobody going to give you a Medal of Honor for having a horrible life. Nobody's going to sit there and go, wow, you know what, Dan? It was great that you sacrificed yourself all the time and you weren't really happy. Here's a certificate of appreciation.
Yeah, it's not like an extra heaven for that or anything. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's a certificate of appreciation, Dan. And we appreciate you.
Participants award.
And we're going to give you the official button. You know, but I mean, and who wants the button anyway? Nobody right. wants the button. You know, I don't want the button. I don't need no stinking button, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, seriously, but that's the thing that I think people forget, is that there's nothing going to come of value if I sacrifice myself.
Right. The unfulfilled life does not get a novel written about it.
No, exactly. And so we're going to be talking more about this here later on in the hour. Dan is going to be giving us some history lessons. We're going to learn something, hopefully a very positive lesson from it. We'll see. We're still developing here, but it's going to be a lot of fun. But, you know, in the meantime, I want you to think, are you dealing and battling with loneliness? Do you feel lonely when you're on your own? Because it happens, but we need to reprogram that, because we're really not alone. And once we begin to see our value, we realize that even further, and we become even more hyper aware of that. So stay tuned. We got some great show for you. It's going to be a great show. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time. Two shakes.
Hi, my name is Reginald Harvey, and I'm a wellness champion. Self-determinance is my preferred way of living whenever possible. But life just throws challenges in our path that don't fit our personal plans. How do you bridge these life road bumps? I just published the medical memoir Anatomy of a Patient as a journal of my battle with a life-threatening illness, stage 4 renal failure. I have learned that disease is just the clinical definition of the sickness, whereas illness is how we choose to live with it. In my case, I immediately had to decide whether to run and hide and wait to die or to dare to live. No, dare to thrive. Join me in a conversation that few are willing to have. You can hear me on Live Your True Life Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. For more information, go to ReggieHarvey.net. That's ReggieHarvey.net.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
With a Mech-Tech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, Mech-Tech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that Mech-Tech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100 the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we're talking about loneliness, understanding where that program began, and how that becomes part of our day-to-day life, and how to overcome that. I know that many of you have probably been married for a long time, you have children, you're dealing with all that stuff, but, you know, you're sitting there thinking, what am I doing with my life? What do I need to be doing? How can I begin to understand me as a person? Because I'm here to tell you the most important thing that we're here to do, the only thing we're really here to do. We can do all this other stuff, but the only thing we're really here to do is to get to know ourselves, to begin to see our value, to unconditionally love ourselves, and that's it. That's all. That's all we're supposed to do, and identify who the heck we are. That's all we're supposed to do. Everything else is just a side bonus. Everything else is just whatever you want to make it to be. And the rest of it really, I mean, so you got like the pinnacle of stuff right here that we're talking about, and then the rest of it is, you know, it's side stuff. You know, the sides matter. You know, when you have a meal and you have like, you know, the main course and the sides add to it, but the sides are not why we're here. We're not here for the corn. Okay, we're not here for the mashed potatoes. We're not here for the broccoli. We're here for the main event. And if we're missing the main event, we're missing quite a bit. So think about this, guys. Think about when you're alone by yourself, how sad do you become? And how much do you fixate on the people in your life that are not there? How much do you fixate on somebody you're dating or in a relationship with? How much do you fixate on trying to connect with people and get on the phone and get as far away from your loneliness as possible? Because I feel that many of us are actually, well, what we're doing is we're kind of going through the motions. We spend about 5 minutes thinking about us. We think about everybody else. We think about what they're feeling. We think about their concerns, but we don't think about ours because we've never put ourselves first, because we think that if we put ourselves first, we're what? We're selfish. But the thing is that it's actually selfish to not do it, because what happens here, and I think many of you have been there, we get very resentful and angry when we don't get what we want in our life. We get resentful and angry, and we kind of hide that resentment, right? We hide the resentment from the person that we have resentment toward. And I want you to think about that, because if you're resentful toward your family or your parents or your spouse or whatever, we've got to realize where that resentment came from to understand how to get rid of that resentment. But holding on to that resentment and anger is not going to help you. And one of the things that I want you to begin to do is start focusing on the present moment. So being mindful. So when you're thinking about, you know, what the person you're dating is doing or how they're feeling, I want you to refocus on your energy. I want you to refocus back to you, because again, when you focus on what other people are doing, you're living on the sidelines of life. And so we don't want to live in the sidelines of life, because many of us have been on the sidelines for so long.
You know, I think a good exercise for people might be to, when you are alone and you don't have somebody else there to bounce off of or entertain you or whatever, is what do you with your time? I mean, if you don't have ways to entertain yourself when you're alone, I mean, you just flip on the TV for some noise. I mean, that's almost like you're uncomfortable with yourself. So that would be a good examination for everybody to think about, what do I do when I'm by myself and there's no one else there?
That's very smart, because what I found that most people do is, you're right, they turn on the TV for noise, which is just, you know, it's not a good thing. Because I want to remind you all of something, and I've said this before, and it's actually the title of one of my chapters in the 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life, is we are what we see and hear, we are what we eat and drink, and you can't unhear or unsee anything. So if you have the noise in the background of the TV, and it's blaring a bunch of just crud, all that crud gets stuck in your brain. And I'm just trying to help you out, because why do we want to have to go in there later on and you got to get with somebody like me to deprogram and to find the crud? Because that's what we're all dealing with. And everybody has their crud. I had my crud, and I'm dealing with my crud. And everybody's got to deal with their crud. But once we realize what it is, we don't want to add to the noise, we want to take away. And so when we return, we're going to be talking about things that you can do. But first off, we're going to also have a history lesson as well, and we're going to learn a little bit about history. It's going to be a lot of fun. But things you can do to begin to get to know yourself, and things you can do right now and start doing right now and implement in your life now. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time. Two shakes. We are all striving to live our true life, and part of living our true life is learning about our past. Passing knowledge and family history down to the next generations help those generations to learn where they came from, who they're related to, and to learn about the accomplishments of their ancestors. We've all seen the commercials on TV where you buy a kit, spit into the plastic tube, and receive a few morsels of information that need a lot more connecting of the family dots. Instead, how about hiring a true professional to help you find out your true, full family history? Dan Nelson is the resident historian of Live Your True Life Perspectives, a professional who does more than looking you up on the internet and compiling those small bits of history. He travels the country doing research about things your family deserve to know. Check out Dan's website. Go to dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. And give the gift of your family history to your family.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Ahead of Labor Day, unions representing millions across several working class sectors are threatening to strike in support of the Black Lives Matter movement amid calls for concrete measures that address racial injustice. Labor leaders who represent teachers, auto workers, truck drivers, and clerical staff, among others, signaled on Friday that they're willing to escalate the protests to force local and federal lawmakers to take action on police reforms and what they call systematic racism. The National Weather Service has issued an excessive heat warning for parts of California, Arizona, and Nevada over this Labor Day weekend. Weather Nation's Andrew Diemer on why it's been so hot in Phoenix, Arizona.
You know, we just had this pattern that's been pretty consistent throughout the whole summer. It's just kept the heat baked over us.
Some areas could see 120 degrees. This is USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we're talking about loneliness, understanding the loneliness mental program, as well as what you can do to overcome that and how it begins. And I think that for most of us, it began because we weren't taught at a young age that we are valuable on our own. We weren't taught that it's okay to actually see value within ourselves. We weren't taught to actually enjoy spending time with ourselves. Instead, we were taught that we want to have as many friends as possible. We should be surrounded by people all the time, that we need to make friends with people and, you know, that sort of thing. And so we began what I believe to be essentially in the very beginning codependent immediately, because we felt like our value was directly related to being codependent, well, I mean, as far as being dependent upon others being around. And I think that nowadays, as we get older and older, we begin to realize there's some sort of disconnect. Okay, there's a disconnect there. Like you might not be happy. Yeah. But then you're like, why am I hanging out with these people? Why would I rather get ignored, be annoyed, but I don't want to be alone? And I think that some of you are waking up to realize, well, this is all old programming. What can I do? And right before the break, Dan and I were talking about, you know, it begins with spending time with yourself and being okay with spending time with yourself. But more than being okay, it's not like about just like, you know, okay, just dealing with it. It's about, okay, wait a second. I know more about somebody I met for 5 minutes in the store than I know about me. Some of you that are dating on these various dating apps, you know more about somebody that you swiped whatever with, swiped right, I don't know what it is. You know more about that person that you texted for 5 minutes than you know about yourself. You know more about somebody you went on a date with for 2 hours than you know about yourself. Okay? I mean, seriously, I'm just being honest. And we don't know what we stand for. We don't see our values. We don't understand our values, that sort of thing. And that's the thing that we really have to get to understand. And people talk about, they talk about boundaries, and they talk about dealing with our boundaries, and they talk about all that great stuff, but they're like, how do I create boundaries? Like, well, how do I get a boundary? How do I make a boundary? You can't have a boundary with somebody until you know what you stand for. I can't create a random boundary. I have to know what my boundaries are based on my values, okay? So these are parts of the things that you got to start asking yourself. It's like becoming the best friend to yourself. Well, it's exactly like becoming the best friend to yourself, because until you become your best friend, how are you treating yourself? Normally pretty poorly. I mean, Dan, have you worked on this with yourself?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was thinking about it, and I will say that I really didn't understand why I am like I am until I was probably in my early 50s. And that was just through a business group that I belonged to, that part of that included sort of stepping through, you know, what caused you to be like you are. And it was really revealing to understand how I got from where I was as a kid to where I am as an adult and how that all fit together. It was really enlightening, because you do sort of go through life not wanting to think about it too much. You know, parts of it are because it was probably awkward, part of your conversion from childhood to adulthood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great for the people that wanted to be a fireman when they're three, and today they're the best fireman in town. But for the people that, you know, didn't follow these complete straightforward paths, it's important to understand that. But you do need something to, you know, to be the initiator for you to go find that out. And this episode, this show, is a great place, you know, to get with it.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think also, too, one of the things I want you all to really think about is, you know a lot about the person you've dated. You know a lot about the person you've been married to. You know a lot about your buddies. You know their favorite movies. You know their favorite food. You know their favorite commercial or not commercial on TV. You know their favorite podcast. Hopefully it's Live Your True Life Perspective. If it's Joe Rogan, that's okay, too. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know these things about them. But what about you? You know, what are the things that make you tick? What are the things that really connect with your reality? What are the things that you believe in? What are the feelings that you have? How often do you catch yourself thinking about what other people are feeling or thinking, and not ever thinking about how you feel? Many of us, the last person that we think about their feelings is us. It's us. And that's the key here, guys. That's the key. That's when I'm working with somebody, I know when someone has been living their life for other people. When they go, well, what do you think that person's feeling? Or do you think that they're upset? I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, what about that person? What do you think's happening there? And I don't know. I get worried, and I feel guilty, and I feel sad. But I never hear them say, I feel beaten up because I'm getting beaten up. I never hear them say, you know what? This is how I feel, because I feel like I'm not heard. And we don't really get to that knowledge base of feeling like we're not heard or we're not understood or misunderstood until we realize that we are being that way and we feel that way. And that's why a lot of times we fall into the trap of being manipulated and gaslit in relationships, because we begin to think so much like the hive thinking, like the hive thinking, that we get onto that echelon of thought, which is not a higher echelon at all, and then we allow other people to manipulate our feelings, even though we're like, wait a second, and then we let other people trigger us. Now, when we get triggered, it's because inside of our mind, we're already thinking that, so it's like somebody else repeating what we're thinking, and usually it's not the most positive. Sometimes it can be such a derogatory thought that we have about ourselves. And that's where the triggers come in. If you haven't already, check out my YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, put in Ashley Burgess, A-S-H-L-E-Y-B-E-R-G-E-S, and you'll find my channel. It's just my name. The name of the channel is my name. And I just put up some really cool videos just now. I put up one a couple days ago about the anatomy of an argument. And I want you to really look at that. It's anatomy of a verbal argumentation. And I'm breaking it down play by play. And I'm explaining exactly how you can get sucked in, how you can get triggered, how not to get triggered, and how to safeguard yourself, and how when we feel like we're actually defending ourselves, we're actually kind of allowing this other person to kind of win in the process, that we're actually signing off on their anger toward us. And there's lots of ways of actually keeping your cool and actually honestly safeguarding yourself, not only mentally, emotionally, but actually physically as well. So, you know, right now I want to switch the gears over to some history. I want to talk about history. I want to connect with history. I want to learn something. You know, Dan, what does our resident historian have for us today?
Well, this is a story about a riverboat gambler. And this, you know, it's interesting what you're talking about with, you know, people, why am I like I am? And of course, you talk about the parents, and then there's the grandparents. And people come to us with stories that got passed down in their family, and we sort of flesh them out. And I will actually hear people say, aha, so that's why grandma's like she was, or why my dad was like he was, or why I'm like I am. Because that DNA, you know, pulls those stories down through, and they get passed down. So this was a story in this client's family that this ancestor, his name is Gideon Glaze. So there's an easy name you don't run into very often.
Good old Gideon.
Good old Gideon, yeah. And that he was a gambler, and something went on that wasn't quite right in terms of him being around, not being around, or whatever. So I went to explore Gideon, and, you know, just to frame this up, he got married for the first time in 1830 down in Louisiana, and he inherited half of his father's plantation. His father was a very successful guy. So he's cruising along. 1835, he goes to sell this tract of land, and he happened to be in plantation country, owned 31 slaves and stock, farming utensils, household furniture. I mean, he was selling it all. Well, that sale fell through. But then he turned around and borrowed $16,000 from his brother-in-law, James Murdoch, a name you'll hear more times because he seemed to be Gideon's financier when Gideon got into financial trouble. And he borrowed this $16,000 from his brother-in-law to basically get the offer his tract of land and his 20 slaves as collateral. Well, then Gideon turned around and sold this same tract that he borrowed money on to another guy for $30,000. So he borrowed 16, he sold it for 30. So that sounds like he's on the upswing. You know, he's making money as he goes. And then he bought that tract back for $11,000 plus some annual rent in terms of cotton and stuff. So again, he feels like he's moving along. Well, then somewhere about the 1840 period, things started to grow sideways for Gideon. He bought the property back for $10,000, which sounds like, wow, that's a good deal. But then he turned around and sold it to his uncle with his brother-in-law carrying the mortgage. Meantime, his wife passed away, and he married an 18-year-old gal. He was 29 at the time, and some family in Mississippi that didn't really know him. Or they wish they probably later had known more about him. So 1841 is when it really, you know, hits the fan. And the sheriff had seized his land, and he had lawsuits from seven different people that were coming after him. And the land had four mortgages on it. So it was quite a crazy time. And it was purchased by this brother-in-law, James Murdoch. He bought all this for $1,500. So remember before we were talking about $30,000 and $16,000, and now we're down to, you know, he got it for $10,000. I'm sorry, for $1,500 he got it. Gideon then turned around and sold his slaves and his farming utensils on the land. And then in 1843, the remaining assets that Gideon had were seized by the sheriff, and there was five different people that held mortgages, and everything was sold, $275. So it just keeps getting worse and worse in terms of what he's got. So meanwhile, his 18-year-old bride's father passed away, and she inherited some land. And Gideon, apparently it wasn't just love that he was after, because she filed a suit in court saying, hey, I inherited slaves, land, livestock, and cash, interest in a tract of land, and he took all that. He took the rent from the land, and she said now that her husband, these are her words, greatly embarrassed with debt, and there are many judgments against him. So she sued him, and she won. I think she was entitled to $1,600, and the next time he shows up in the records is 1850. He shows up as a carpenter worth $450. He'd moved by then to a different part of Louisiana. But that same year later that year, the sheriff said that he'd known him for two or three years and that the defendant was very much embarrassed in his pecuniary affairs, which basically means financial affairs. So the court ruled in his wife's favor. And so the sheriff went to look for him, and he says, you know what? I can't find any property that belongs to this guy. There's nothing to go grab to get you your $1,500. And so apparently he didn't have the assets to pay Salida. So he did what people sometimes did back then. He disappeared. I mean, they could not. They don't know what happened to Gideon. So and we could see records of this in court documents, because he had minor children and they would appoint tutors for those minor children. So that whole process is documented, and it says that their mother is passed and their father, they haven't said he's passed, they just don't know what's happened to him. Well, in the meantime, he actually went up to Missouri and he married another gal who was my client's ancestor. So he went up the Mississippi River, you know, right where the river boats ran. And meanwhile, back in Louisiana, keep in mind there was no court records that were computerized. There was no way for people to get information back and forth. And he gets declared dead in 1855, even though he's in Missouri in 1853 and gets married again. He married a gal that was 23 years younger than him. And one of the last records of Gideon was his new wife at that time saying that she could no longer work because her husband was dying and she was pregnant at the same time. So she'd had to move in with her parents. So Gideon passed away somewhere around there. There's no actual record of his death. And basically what the family got passed down and appears supported, if you look at the facts, was that he was a riverboat gambler and he blew through his fortune several times, probably won some games, got some money back, went back, bought the plantations, then had to sell them again on the cheap. So this was a man that basically tried to erase his past and must have been a smooth talker if you can find a gal 23 years younger to marry you when you basically had already abandoned one family.
Wow, so do you think he just took off again and just kind of like plotted his fake of his death?
Well, the fact that she refers to him as dying, my guess is he's sick, but people were probably so fed up with him and he couldn't talk his way out of dying that they probably just, no one, you know, gave a rip that basically he's passed. It was like good riddance, you know?
You think so?
Probably. But, yeah, he could have maybe had a rally and gone back on a riverboat and gambled his way some more, you know?
Changed his name.
People did that all the time, particularly in the South. You just went over the hill and
Changed your name,
you know? It was not like going off the grid was much simpler then. I mean, basically, if you did get killed by the Indians, you could go off the grid.
I don't know. That name is, yeah, I think you would have to definitely change that name. That name is too memorable for sure.
Yeah, it was fun to investigate because you knew it was him the whole time, because you don't have a lot of Gideon Glazes. You know, it was John Smith. Well, you know, get in line.
You wouldn't. Yeah, exactly. John Smith would be pretty tough. Yeah, so that's interesting. I love the story. Okay, so this is a great story, Dan. I love this. Obviously, gambling doesn't pay, and I think that's part of it, too.
There's very few people that I think have actually been able to have a normal, somewhat normal life that made a living off gambling. I mean, there are a few people that run betting organizations, but they probably made money because they stayed disciplined while everybody else went with their feeling, you know, in terms of betting, and that, you know, that's how Vegas makes money.
That makes sense. Well, Dan, I can't wait to see you back in the studio next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too. So stay tuned. We have more to go. We're going to be talking a little bit of things you can do, some tips and tricks to overcome that loneliness, to kind of reprogram yourself, and to begin to spend some more time with yourself and actually begin to see your value. when we spend more time, we see value. It's just like, you know, remember when you're spending time with people, it's quality, not quantity. So we're going to really work on that. It's just like any other relationship. You got to put time and effort into it. So stay tuned. We'll be back. Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be talking more about this loneliness principle. You got to stick with us. We'll be back this time. We'll be back this time. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme hardship, when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos. Beat rising food prices. But above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we've been talking about overcoming the loneliness program and how to do that and what we can do. And the first thing that you can take is a nugget of wisdom that you can incorporate into your day-to-day life beginning right now. We don't have to wait till tomorrow or the next day or forget about it and just not do it at all. We want to implement this now, and we want to begin to actually acknowledge the fact that we exist as a human being. That's the first thing, okay, because we seem to acknowledge everybody else is allowed to do their thing. We seem to acknowledge that other people's feelings matter. We seem to acknowledge that other people can do X, Y, Z, but we really don't acknowledge our value. And we have to begin to also spend time with ourselves, which I think is a big thing. And in order to spend time with ourselves, we actually have to kind of focus on us. So we have to refocus our energy if we're thinking about, you know, other people and what they're doing or how they are, what they're doing or what they're, whatever, we need to refocus our energy back on us, because that's just what? A distraction. That's a distraction of who we are and what we're doing. So we're just distracting ourselves to not spend time with ourselves. We're spending time, but we're really not. But one of the biggest caveats that I want to stress in today's show is, Many of you are probably describing yourself, whether it's in your mind or within your verbal words, and they're not kind words. Okay, like you wouldn't, like maybe some of you are saying that you're broken. Maybe some of you are using the word jaded. Maybe some of you are using the word messed up or, you know, whatever it is, or weird or strange or outsider or fat or, you know, whatever you're saying. You really need to start focusing on the words of how you're defining yourself, because those words are very literal within the body. So the body and the mind takes things very literal. That's why dream interpretation is so interesting, and why it's so hard for people to understand dreams when it's their own dream, is because it's so literal. Okay, like it's so literal. Like when I'm talking to somebody and I'm analyzing a dream, it really comes to me quite easily because I can see the literalness about it. So what I'm saying is that if you're saying that you're fat, or you're unlovable, or you're weird, or whatever, really check that stuff, because that's really kind of mean personal talk.
Yeah, and I think for every one of those bad words, there's an opposite good word. It's just how you get yourself, you know, like a person that thinks they're lazy. Well, you could also probably be a person that's efficient. You know, it's just how you sort of turn that around.
And how you make changes, because I'm not, well, you know, that's true. There are some changes we have to make in our life. And yes, if you feel you're lazy, let's get to the core of that laziness. What is that from? Where does that come from? Was that something that was told to you that you are? Was that something that was sold to you that you are? Was that an angry mother or an angry father or an angry spouse saying, you know, you're lazy? Or are you being called selfish by your spouse? Are you being called weird or outsider or lurky by your spouse? I mean, think about this. And then are you buying into that? Are you owning that and then using that as your own? Because I want you to start realizing the words and the names and the descriptions you're using for yourself, because this is very, very important. Okay? I can't even express how important this is, because think about if you called someone else a name. Think about if you said, oh, you're weird, or you're ugly, or you're this. I mean, they would take that in a very painful way. They would take that personally, right? And it would hurt them, right? And they'd probably be pretty angry with you. So think about why are you doing it to yourself every day? It doesn't make any sense, right? And so we need to start catching these. And the only way we can catch this is to be slow down the mind a little bit and be mindful and quit thinking about what's happening over here, what's happening over there, what you didn't do, what you could do, or the people you know. We got to stop, because in order to stop thinking about them, it allows us to actually focus on here, because we're trying to create an efficient friendship with ourselves, and we can't have a friendship with ourselves when we're calling ourselves names and putting ourselves down. So I really want you to start catching that and being mindful of that and working on that on a daily basis. This has been a great show, Dan. I would love having you here. I can't wait to have you back in studio, and I'm looking forward to the tales that you'll be telling next week.
Yeah, well, this was a great session to participate in. You know, it's interesting because you can be sitting here, but you're also processing as you hear, you know, how you internalize the discussion. So it was a great learning experience for me.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, this has been great, guys. Be back live next weekend, and the studios will either be in my studios or be at USA Radio Networks. You've been listening here on 1160 AM KVDT or on the other stations that are awesome and amazing here on USA Radio Networks. So happy to be involved in this network. So let's be around for next week. In the meantime, check out the website, AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. You can look at past interviews, past live shows, all kinds of things right there. And have a wonderful, wonderful Labor Day weekend. Have a wonderful Labor Day. Have fun with your family, friends, and everything. And get to know yourself. Spend a couple of minutes getting to know yourself and do some mindfulness. Okay, live your true life perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time. I'll be back this time in three shakes. We are all striving to live our true life, and part of living our true life is learning about our past. Passing knowledge and family history down to the next generations help those generations to learn where they came from, who they're related to, and to learn about the accomplishments of their ancestors. We've all seen the commercials on TV where you buy a kit, spin into a plastic tube, and receive a few morsels of information that need a lot more connecting of the family dots. Instead, how about hiring a true professional to help you find out your true family history? Dan Nelson is the resident historian of Live Your True Life Perspectives, a professional who does more than looking you up on the internet and compiling bits of history. He travels the country doing research around things that your family deserve to know. Take a moment now and contact Dan at 214-914-3598. That's 214-914-3598 and begin to learn your history.